John 14, verses 1 to 6. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Amen. Well, I wonder, as you sat down this morning, I wonder if you realized that you are sitting amongst a whole group of people who have got heart trouble. Do you know that? In fact, it is not just all the other people around you. You too have heart trouble. We all do. Just look at the opening words from Jesus in our passage. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Why would he say that? Because of the trouble that's in the hearts. Specifically, of course, at this time he's talking to his 11 friends. But his words were not just meant for this small group of men. No, these words are living words for your heart and for mine this morning. But before we get down to the kind of specific heart treatment that we need, let's just think a bit about the context, about how, about why Jesus might need to be saying this to his friends particularly at this point. Well, if you were to flash back a few verses, you can do that later on at home if you want, a bit of homework, you'll find that we're joining Jesus and his friends just after they'd had that last supper together. And it's turned out from what they thought would be a kind of happy, relaxed meal, you know, with a few mates, it's turned out from that to the most surreal thing going. Just think, these 13 men come together to celebrate, to eat and to drink, but within minutes it had started to get really weird. And I mean really weird. Instead of the servants washing the guests' feet, as happened in most hosts' houses, what happened? The host whipped out a quick bowl and a cloth and started cleaning their filthy, disgusting feet. I mean, how awkward was that? Then eventually they get around to eating, and it's still probably feeling a bit awkward. They get around to eating, and Jesus says that one of them is going to betray him. Now, this lot have been with him for 3 years. They're all friends. One of them is going to betray him. And then the door had hardly closed on Judas before Jesus says something along the lines of, look, lads, you need to know that I'm going to be leaving you for a while. I'm off for a while. Imagine their thoughts racing through their heads, and their hearts are just sort of sinking. And they go, what? And if you read back a few more than a few verses, maybe a chapter or two, you'd see what's been going on. And they're at this point. It's a crucial time, and Jesus says, well, I'm going to be off, lads. What is going on? Then to top it all, Peter, the boldest one of the lot, is told that he's going to turn his back on Jesus. Wow, that is some dinner, isn't it? There's certainly a few things served up here that they weren't expecting. And so, understandably, they are all shocked and they're all upset and they're all confused and their world is being blown apart. And it's exactly that point that Jesus comes in and he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, this is deeper. Deeper than don't fret or don't panic or don't worry. Jesus knows all too well that when the bottom falls out of our lives, the first thing that happens is that we panic. You know, when things don't go as we're expecting, when the road gets bumpy, we all get jumpy, don't we? We are prone to panic. But Jesus loves us. He loves us and he wants us to remember that whatever goes on in our lives, he is never surprised and can always, always be trusted. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus says, yes, of course you'll be tempted to panic, you'll be tempted to fret, but don't let yourself fall into that trap. No, you needn't do that. It doesn't do you any good anyway. Well, he says that to his friends, but he says that to us today. And you're probably sitting there thinking, well, yeah, great, you can say that, can't you? But how do you avoid it? How do you actually practically avoid that? How does it happen? Well, Jesus follows on. Before that question is even asked of him, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Trust me, says Jesus. My Father and I and our Holy Spirit, we're busy on your behalf. So you don't need to have heart trouble. And besides, as he goes on, besides, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. Now, unfortunately, that verse got translated badly a few centuries ago, and it ended up saying that there are many mansions, which is kind of a grand thing, but that's not what it means. It's better than that. We are not talking about separate country estates here. What Jesus is saying is that we're all moving into his place. But in his place, we all got our own pad, and it is a kind of mansion. You can't imagine it, really. We're not going to be separated by fences or walls or hedges, but we're going to be at home with God. You see, according to Jesus, heaven's a very real place. You get that if you read the whole of the Bible. You can't miss it. It's a really, really real place. And it's an amazing place, and there is plenty of room for all who will choose it. All who will choose it. It's an important thing here. Jesus is talking to his friends here. These people are Christians. They've come to see the truth of just how much Jesus loves them. They've come to see the truth of just how much they need saving. And Jesus is the only Saviour. They've come to see that truth, and Jesus has actually told them that again, hasn't he? So if you're a Christian, this promise is for you. If you're not a Christian, this promise is open to you. If you don't know Jesus this morning, this promise is still open to you if you accept Jesus. It's not your promise if you don't accept Jesus. It is open to you, but it's not yours unless you accept Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but for now, let's just get back to looking at heaven. So I always think it's a good thing to look at heaven. I wonder if you can tell me how big this new heavenly city is. Anybody got any ideas? No? Well, it's big. Shall I tell you how big it is? You see, I know just how big it is. And it's not, actually you'd be amazed at this, it's not because I'm clever. It's not because God has told me a secret. It's because we're told in the Bible. Anyone know where?
Revelation.
Revelation chapter 21, verses 15 and 17 says this. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates and its walls. When he measured it, he found it was square, as wide as it was long. In fact, his length and his width and his height were each 1,400 miles. Now, I don't know if you can imagine just how far that is. Can you imagine how far that is? But I checked it out. Yeah, the internet's good for some things, isn't it? I checked it out. It's not great on the screen, but it gives you a rough idea on that map. It is the height and the width and the breadth and the depth is the distance between here in Ely and Moscow. It's big, isn't it? I mean, it's very big. And if you want to multiply the height and the width and the depth, you'll find that it is quite large. It is very, very big. Think there'll be enough space, don't you? Just to give you an idea of what it's going to be like, let's have a little bit more of a look at heaven whilst we're over there in Revelation 21. Verse 2 says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. See, this is the whole thing. This is the whole thing about being with God. God wants us to be with him. He loves us. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus had to come. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Just check out that with Genesis chapter 2. Have a little bit later on. Have a look. Before Adam and Eve messed up so badly, what was happening? God was with them. God was with them. That is what it was supposed to be like. Because of his love for us in Christ, he's made it possible again for us to be with him. So he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. All these things are gone forever. That's what it tells us in Revelation 21. Our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Daddy, takes care of the hurts and the needs of his children. I kind of find it difficult to say Heavenly Daddy sometimes because he's the creator of everything. But he is our Heavenly Father, Abba Daddy. He takes care of all of the hurts and needs of all who will trust him. How are your hurts and needs this morning? How are you feeling? Bit hacked off? Bit fed up? Hurting? Pain? Stuff going on in your life you'd rather wasn't? You have one who loves you more than you could ever imagine, and he wants to take care of all your hurts and all your needs if you let him. Do you ever feel you don't fit in this world? That it's not quite as it should be? If so, that's good, because it's how we ought to feel, because we are not supposed to fit in here. We're supposed to feel a bit like people passing through. We're supposed to feel like that because that's exactly what we are. This isn't our home. I mean, it's a great world. But it's going to be remade to what it was, to perfection. This isn't home. No, home is what Jesus is getting ready for us. And it is astounding. It is amazing. I can tell you, this, there has never been an impressive designer as Jesus. If you read on in Revelation, you'll see what it's going to be like. Let me just read a bit more for you. Revelation 21 again, verses 18 and following. The wall was made of jasper and the city was of pure gold, as clear as glass. Have you ever seen pure gold that it is as clear as glass? You know, you look at it and it looks as if you can almost see through it because it's shining that much. We haven't seen that, of course, because it doesn't exist. But it's going to be made. Jesus is going to make some. The wall of the city was built on the foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. And John, listen. Sapphire, jasper, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardonyx, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, it's a good one, isn't it? I can never do it. It's not difficult to pronounce when you do it slowly. I never do it slowly. Jacinth, amethyst, and the 12 gates were made of pearls. That's easier to pronounce, you'll find. Each gate from a single pearl. Now, these are big gates. Just imagine the shellfish that would have come from. These are big pearls. And then verse 22. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. This is our new home, and the city has no need of a sun or a moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city. God's glory just floods out. Perfect light. Just imagine God's glory shining through that huge city and flashing through all of those colored jewels that I can't pronounce. And the kind of way that the light is just bouncing off that incredible home, that incredible description is kind of beyond us, isn't it? Even that description we've got there, we really can't imagine it. And I don't think John is quite doing this justice. He's using all the words that he can use. He's doing his best, and even that just blows our mind. What a stunning, exciting place. And do you know what? Jesus is getting it ready for us. Jesus is getting it ready for us. And because he knows that we're a bit slow on the uptake, he says, if this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Well, Jesus doesn't lie, so no, of course not. I'm going to prepare a place for you, says Jesus, which means he's going to prepare a place for us. To put it bluntly, Jesus is saying, trust me. I've always told you the truth. I am the truth. I'm not just saying this to try and make you feel better. Trust me, believe in me fully. And that trusting, that believing, is about the kind of same trusting and believing that you do when you sit on a chair. Now, you are trusting a chair. You realize that? Could you realize how much you're trusting that chair? Just imagine if those legs fell apart, what state you'd be in. That's the kind of trust. But more. Just trust Jesus. You trust the chair enough to sit on him. On it, trust Jesus enough to be in him. For him to hold you. Do you trust Jesus enough for him to hold you? He's a lot stronger than that chair. Trust me, I've seen some of them, some wobbly legs. Trust me. Jesus is the truth, and he always speaks the truth. Always. I go to prepare a place for you. So that's for everyone who'll trust him, has a place prepared. Verse 3, when everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Verse 3, that is back in John. I realize I've been wandering around Revelation a lot. He's saying here, listen. Listen up, people. Don't go to sleep. Listen. I'm not only going to get it ready. It's not really just personal for you, but personally, individually, you are so important to me that I'm not just going to send a bus or a taxi or ask you to walk, get on a bike, come in your car, or even send an angel for you. No, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to collect you, and I'm going to get you there, and we're going to be together forever from that point that I come and collect you. Just take a second to let that settle in your head and your heart. I will go, says Jesus, but I am coming back to fetch you. When that time comes, I will come and get you. I'm coming in person. I'm never leaving you. I'm going to give you my spirit and I'm going to come and collect you in person. How precious are you to Jesus? Well, you couldn't tell me how precious you are because you're more precious than that. Just listen to what Jesus says here. He says, I'm coming back. It's going to get dark, but listen, I'm coming back. It's going to get dark. I'm coming back. It's going to get dark. Do you see? He knows. That's why he's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. It's going to get dark. It will get dark. It will look like it is getting pretty close to midnight. And it may look like I've completely forgotten. But I will never, ever forget you. I will never leave you. In fact, you'll read later on, if you were to read from verse 15 on, you'll find that Jesus promises to come and live in the hearts of every believer by way of his Holy Spirit. Friends, Jesus will never leave you, however dark you think your life is getting. He'll never leave you, however bright you think your life is. I'll be back, says Jesus. Trust me. Trust my promise. I'm getting it ready. When it's done, I'm coming for you. And the exciting thing is, in fact, there's a lot of exciting stuff, but the exciting thing here is that just in those words, you see that Jesus is just as keen to get back and get you back to where you're going. Jesus is keen to come and collect you. I really want to come and collect you. Jesus is excited about heaven and you being there as you are, or as you should be, even if you're not. John 17:24 says this, Father, I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Where is he going to be? Where is he? Heaven. So as soon as the Father says, go, like a shot, if not a little bit faster, Jesus will be back because he wants you up there just as much as you want to be there. When I say up there, that's another discussion. We'll go there another day maybe. Verse 4. And you know the way where I'm going? He said, you know, I've told you this. I've told you the way. You know the way to where I'm going. If you want to see where he's told it, go go back to John 7, verse 33, where he says, you know where I'm going, and you know how you're going to get there. That's what he says. And Thomas speaks for all of the disciples here. He's not just doubting Thomas again, or doubting Thomas the first time. He's speaking for all of the disciples, because to be honest, by this time, everything, so much has been piling on them, they're not sure they can be sure of anything anymore. Do you ever get like that in life? It all kind of piles in on you, you just need a reminder. No, we don't know, Lord. We haven't got a clue where you're going. How can we know the way? And that's a pretty fair question, I think, really. Thomas says, all this is just, it's just beyond our experience. And quite frankly, it's making my head hurt and it's making my heart ache. He's saying our understanding of anything ends at death. We just don't know. And you're telling us you will die and then you're going to go somewhere. I mean, that's just weird. We don't know what's going on after death. We don't know. We haven't got the kind of sat-nav or the maps to just tell us what's going on next. And I think that's a fair point. So again, Jesus responds, trust me. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way. He's both claiming to be God there and saying he's the way. Jesus is the way. There's a capital T on that. He is the only way. I'm the truth. Anything that contradicts Jesus is a dirty lie. And the life. He's the life because he created the life we have. He's the source of life. He has always been. So if you want the life of peace, if you want the life of joy and the life of love that you were created for, then it is Jesus you need. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour yet, I beg you, talk to me or talk to another Christian you know here today. But let's remember, Jesus here is specifically talking to his friends, and he's also talking specifically to every Christian. And he says, Christians, he says, friends, you don't need to know how to get there. So if you're not a Christian, you certainly need to talk to another Christian and find out more about Jesus. But if you're a Christian today and you've got any kind of sense of, well, there's this kind of apprehension. Well, for a start, we were created to be with God. So what happens next when you fall off the perch? When you're kicking up the daisies, however you want to put it, when the Lord comes before them, maybe. It's going to be better than any of your best experiences or imaginings. You don't need to know how you're going to get there, because I'm coming to get you. Don't worry about it, because Jesus says, trust me, I am the way. And when the time comes, don't worry about it. Just when the time comes, I'll take your hand. You don't need directions. I'll just take you straight to our home. That is an amazing promise. Jesus is going to come and grab you by the hand and take you. You don't need to know. All you have to do is to trust him completely. That's all. Christ will take you the rest of the way. All it takes for us is to say to Jesus, yes, I trust you. I'll take your offer of life. And I'll die to my old self. I trust you, Jesus. I don't know where you are up there, and I haven't got a clue how to get there, but I'm just going to die to my old self, because that's what you tell me to do, and you ask me to let you start working in my heart. So I'm going to die to my old self, and in a way, I really don't get it. I don't get quite how it's going to happen, but I'm going to be made bit by bit new by you. I'll trust you. And when the time is right, you'll come and you'll get me. You know, a Christian may fall asleep in death or be changed by Jesus as he comes back for his church. If that happens before, either way, he's going to grab you by the hand. Don't worry. He's going to call you by name. Don't worry, he's coming back for you. Do you trust him? What if you die today? I know you came here to be cheered up, didn't you? What if you die today? Do you trust him? Are you ready? Do you trust him for that? Jesus says to everyone who will listen, to everyone who will listen to him, he says, trust me, I have come to do what neither you or anyone else can do. I've come to reunite you with our Heavenly Father. Trust me, there is no other way. Trust me, you don't need a map. Trust me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way to our home together. I am the only truth. Now and eternally, the truth is with me. I'm the only offer of life that will be true, that will be vibrant, that will be real, that will be eternal. And it is all in Christ. He's everything a man or a woman needs. Everything Adam and Eve had and lost, you can reclaim in Christ. Trust me, says Jesus. That's the way, and it is the only way on offer for any of us. It is no good trusting in anything else for eternity, be it money or trying to be nice. It's good to try and be nice, but you know, don't do it to trust it into eternity. It's not going to work. Being good, trusting in drink, drugs, friends, health. Don't trust in Hinduism. Don't trust in Islam. Don't trust in Buddhism. Don't trust in spiritualism or crystals or horoscopes or any other kind of religious, quasi-spiritual stuff. When it comes to it, nothing else will be of any use. That is why Jesus is saying to his friends, it's simple, but don't get it wrong. The only hope for humanity, the only hope for me, the only hope for you, the only hope for your family, the only hope for your friends is Jesus Christ. And as Jesus was reminding his friends in this passage, if you trust him, you needn't let your heart be troubled. If you trust him, you'll know his comfort, you'll know his peace, and even his joy. So if you are struggling with heart trouble, if when you came in this morning that the world was piling in on you, or there's just stuff that's bothering you, if you were struggling with heart trouble when you came in this morning, you needn't leave here struggling. If you ever worry what will happen to you at the end of this short life, however long your life is, it's pretty short really, isn't it? If you ever worry about that, you needn't leave here worrying. Just trust him and obey. Jesus says to us all this morning, come, put your hands in my hands. I will never let you go. Trust me. Let's pray.